You want to know the truth? Most agents aren't lazy. But the reason they don't hit their goals sometimes is because they're lacking in the fundamentals. So that's why I reached out to Jay Papasan. He's all about the fundamentals. He co-wrote MREA and Shift and The One Thing. And his new book, The Rookie Real Estate Agent, is all about simple, step-by-step moves that actually work. And they work for anyone, not just a rookie, anybody.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to hang out with us and learn and strategize and grow and get better. We are doing what we do, which is talk to elite people. And we've got a favorite. He's a great friend of our community. He's someone that's been around KW for a long time and is instrumental in what we do. Jay Papasan, thank you so much for joining. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I have a special place in my heart for this group. You won a special award for like making this happen through COVID for all of us. So thank you again for being the person more than anyone else that made this group come alive. And it's still alive.
It is still alive. And it's my pleasure. And I appreciate your mentorship over the years to help create it and do what we're doing in here. And all you've done to add value to everyone in the real estate space. You co-authored Millionaire Real Estate Agent with Gary. You co-authored Shift with Gary. You co-authored The One Thing with Gary, which has sold what, like 4 million copies or something like that?
We'll probably round to 4 million copies by the end of the year. We're really close. We're just waiting for the royalty reports from overseas to come in, and we should be there with about 100,000 short.
That's amazing. And now you've got your new one, which is Rookie Real Estate Agent, which you worked on. You and your team worked on this for a long time. I think the title might catch people off guard because as I went through it, I'm like, this is not the Rookie Real Estate Agent. This is so many people who I know who sell homes at a high level could get value out of it. But tell me why this project was important to you, Jay.
It's been a passion project for a long time. So we'd have to go back, like we had a whole different crew. We were working on an update to the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which everybody's like, when are you going to update it? We've written 3 manuscripts. We just haven't been able to get the right amount of Gary time to feel comfortable taking it out to the world. And we were in one of those cycles, and I also was looking for an opportunity for my team to do something kind of independently, knowing that we can't publish The Millionaire Real Estate Agent with Gary. What's a book that we could? And so we started asking the question. We're interviewing millionaire agents. These are people doing 50, 70, 100, 200 million sometime in volume on an annual basis, the best of the best. We started asking them, James, like, what did you do your first year that other agents don't? And it was just one question. And the answers were really, really highlighted how the fundamentals never go out of style. And some people started there and some people got there as fast as they could. You have outliers. I mean, come on, Tim Heil working so hard on listings that that's all he did for the first 2 or 3 years. He's an outlier, but that's absolutely, he just got there faster. He built a listing-based business as fast as he could. So we got a lot of those answers and that's where it started germinating for me. We wanted to call it the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Year One for many years. And that was its code name. But we probably got somewhere between 200 and 250 interviews with top agents, with coaches, with productivity coaches, and leaders in the industry, and asked them basically that question in a more evolved state. You know, the agents who become ultimately successful, what is it that they do in the beginning that others don't? And what do they need to know that they don't know when they start? And I look up as a publisher, there's a giant hole in the market. You know, we have at least 50,000 agents that just join our company every year. You have hundreds of thousands join the industry. And we do give them the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, but that can kind of blow your mind if you're coming right out of the gates. I love the mindset piece, but it can also overwhelm. And I looked at the literature out there for first-year agents, and there wasn't anything that I felt like did the job. And you know our training. We have amazing training for new agents. So we tapped that. We tapped our knowledge base. And we tried to create kind of a by the numbers. How would someone make $100,000 in their first full year of real estate? That's the question we ultimately asked with the book. And anything that did not meet that criteria was cut. And everything that we believe did was added to it. So that's kind of the birth story of the book. It was maybe 7 years of work culminating in 3 years of very focused work.
Yeah. It takes, you know, what I used to teach about MREAJ was, what I loved about it was, you want to make 100,000, which is like that magic number for every new agent. Just take MREA and divide it by 10 and you're there. But there were things that were beyond what a new person into the industry might be able to grasp. And so what I love about this is that, again, anybody who's not in that six-figure space in the business can apply this. And then anyone even who is, they might be missing a fundamental. This narrows it down to the fundamentals, which are so key. And I just real quick want to tell people that your team has been so great that they've offered a discount on the book too, to save a little bit of money. So if anyone wants to get it, you go to kellerinc.com, and that's I-N-K, like ink on a page, kellerinc.com, 15% off, and the promo code is PIVOT2025. So Jay, thank you to your team for doing that, for offering a discount to save a little bit of money on a case or on just one copy. That's really cool.
Yeah, the first month we moved a little over 7,000 copies, which for a book that we weren't pushing like a bestseller, tells me the market needed it.
Yes.
That's a really great launch. The average book sells about less than 1,000 copies in its lifetime.
Yeah.
So it's
really good.
I know two things I want to unpack.
What's that, Jay? I'm sorry.
I know one leader that bought over 700 copies.
Well, that's amazing. You like that person, whoever that
is. Yeah, but they were buying it for everyone in a very large region. Anyone who hadn't done 100,000 in GCI is getting a copy of this book.
Smart.
And I would tell you that, yes, if you're just the rookie, could be misleading. I'm glad that you got that. But this is kind of like the $100,000 agent right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good for rookies. And it also is a reminder of the basics.
I look at it and go, this is the manual. This is the playbook. This is the step-by-step. I always like to say we NKOTB things, new kids on the block, the song step-by-step. This is the step-by-step of what to do. If I'm a rainmaker of a team, I'm probably giving it to the new team members who join, you know, stuff like that. But there's two key areas that I really liked and got very excited about. And it's similar as the other books you've written, where you're starting with mindset because it is foundational. And it does appear to me, in my 20 years with Keller Williams, and 8 of them as a team leader and time as a MAPS coach and bold coach, that there are some mindset challenges that a new agent brings in. Maybe a lack of credibility. They're worried about annoying people. They have these different concerns. And you unpack a lot of this. Can you talk a little bit about, in the research and what you know, about how vital mindset is for someone who's looking to really launch their career?
Great. I won't go through all of them, but I will hit some highlights. And here's something interesting. I got a chance to work with all of the MAPS coaches, and I shared the six myths that we identified for rookies. And I asked them, which one are you still working with your clients on today? And these are people that are affording a one-on-one coach. And the two that stood out, that if you don't solve early, you're still going to be working on, are if I don't know everything, I can't begin. This perfectionism disease, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that I've got to get everything just right. I've got to know everything before I begin. And a lot of agents spend all of their time early in their career focused on getting everything perfect before they take action. And you and I both know the only way to perfect our action is by taking it and learning from it. So we've got to do the minimum amount of just-in-time learning, not just-in-case learning. I don't need to learn everything just in case it happens. Like, we live in a world of YouTube. If I need something just in case, I can get that information on the curb before I walk in the house if I have to.
Yep.
So I don't need to overprepare. And the other one, and it's crazy to think of someone earning the kind of money to earn a one-on-one coach that still thinks that if they ask for business, they're going to annoy people.
Mm-hmm.
But new agents begin with it. And if they don't solve for it, eventually they will still deal with those myth understandings well throughout their career. So those two really stand out for me. But philosophically, every book that Gary and I write, we always start with what's between our ears. Because if we have ideas that are just not true about the industry or about ourselves, we won't take the action we need to be successful. And we almost always bookend it with coaching. Like, on some level, accountability is on the other side. Any extraordinary success begins with mindset and usually ends with coaching, in my experience.
We don't have a problem with access to information. We can go learn something, like you said, on the way to the appointment. But you could be have the best listing presentation in your town, but if you have no listing appointments to go on, no one gives a flip. You've got to be able to get out there.
Is it Naval, like his famous quote, if information was the answer, we'd all have six-pack abs and $1 million in the bank account?
That's true. It's absolutely true. The one about annoying, I'm curious about, as you talked about that with the coaches and you did the research on it and talked with all of these successful agents over time, what was it that got them away from this I'm not annoying to I'm adding value to them? How do they make that leap, Jay?
The most common answer I've heard, and I bet you've got wisdom on this too, James, is getting out of this idea that I'm asking for them for something versus offering them something, right? People love to help people. A lot of people in this industry, a lot of people watching this, they got into it because they love to serve people. And when you get out of the mindset and make it not about you and your bank account, I want the opportunity to serve my friends, my family. I don't want them to be served by someone who won't do it as well as I do, who won't care as much as I do. When they can change the mindset from asking for something to serving them, it's almost always led to a breakthrough.
Yeah, it's really smart. At some point, they have to take action. There's a ton in here on lead gen, which is why, again, I tell people, just look, the 2025 or it maybe didn't work out the way you wanted, and that likely was because there weren't enough leads in the pipeline. And so if you go through, even as an experienced agent, and read through all the stuff and hear about lead generation, I think it'll help you, because you talk about building a lead gen stack that you don't have to do everything. You figure out the key things for you. Tell me about that, because my guess would be you talk to very successful people, hundreds of them, who all do some things the same and some things very different. So I'm curious about building that stack and what advice you'd give.
So I think we had a real bias in this section, because we did write the book primarily for people that were new to the business or who needed business quickly, right? So not all business that we, not all lead generation yields immediately. Sometimes we get lucky. So we might be laying the foundation for a farm, but we're not going to coach them on farming in their first year. So we're trying to coach them around things that blend marketing and prospecting, so that we're going out and we're seeking some business and we're trying to attract some, but it's really with a bias towards business we can get in the next 90 days. And the thing that just shows up, and a lot of top agents, I remember seeing this last year, Jen Davis, our friend, was teaching a class on how to really do an open house. And the people attending were not new agents. They weren't early agents. It was some of the biggest agents in our business. People, I recognized the faces. And I was like, wow, everybody is going back to the basics. Everybody is revisiting this for themselves and their teams, because they know, even though some of us want to turn our nose up, oh, I don't do open houses anymore.
Right.
That we devoted a whole chapter to that one.
Yes, you did.
The other one that I think is almost non-negotiable for if you really want big success is the quarterly call. This idea, when we interviewed, and this is for all of our books, the people who had the most successful and predictable book of business were people who were contacting their database by phone or text, some sort of two-way conversation. And I'll say it for Jason, who's not here, in a TCPA compliant manner, they were contacting four times a year. And they didn't perfectly do it four times a year, but they had a system for doing it that they were largely following, which meant they were having real conversations three to four times a year with their past and present clients, with their actual sphere. It's not thousands of people, but hundreds of people. And that created so much energy for them that they were generating lots and lots of now business. So like, I would almost always, if it was my son getting in the business, I'd be like, here's two things that are kind of non-negotiable. You're going to have a database. You're going to talk to them four times a year, and you're going to do open houses, because the open houses will build your database. Right. And then you will talk to them four times a year. So I don't want to speak for everyone. We cover events. We cover lots of things for different personality types.
Yeah,
but there are some things that showed up as clearly more effective than others, and they were timeless. They were things that people have been doing for the last 30 years.
Well, we've been teaching four contacts to the database by phone or text forever.
Yeah.
It's been in bold forever. When I was coaching it, I know it's in the current version of bold. It's something that, and yet it's something that people still push back on, or they understand but won't do. I was doing a business planning event, Jay, last year, and the concept of DTD2 came up, right? Which is do the database 2, for those of you that don't know. And Steve Schleter and Tammy Youngs created it after reading MREA talking about how to do it. And it's two letters by last name every week. And effectively, then you get through the whole alphabet every quarter, and they get a touch a quarter from you.
And you've got some weeks that are really heavy, right? Where you've got T and S, and some weeks where you've got U and X, and they're just not. And
that's right.
There's actually some, it actually works out for you to have hard weeks and easy weeks, not so it's not the same every week.
That's right. So this concept came up inside of the business planning event, and people, the question that the instructor asked was, how many of you are doing DTD2? And Jay, it's like 90% of the hands went up. And I said, hold on. I want to make sure you heard the question. Because the question wasn't how many of you are familiar with this concept. The question is how many of you are doing it. And so let's raise your hand if for doing versus familiar. And way less hands went up. And these are, again, like you said earlier, agents who operate at a high level.
Right.
So when I think about it and I go, all right, so your book is teaching them to do this. Rookie is teaching them to do it. MREA is teaching them to do it. They're teaching it in bold. I go back then to myth number four, which is if I ask people for business, I will annoy them. Wouldn't that be the only reason why you may want the main reason why, not the only reason. I don't want to be in absolutes, but one of the main reasons why you wouldn't call is because you're concerned about bothering. But again, your research says they do want to hear from you.
Yeah, I think there's two reasons this stop people. They don't know who to call and they don't know what to say. So the program, the D2, whatever, I always get the initials wrong, but basically the two letters of the alphabet,
right,
that solves the problem for who you're calling.
That's right.
But do you have something to talk about? And so there's a few ways to go around this. I love events. If you're hosting four events a year, doesn't matter. It could be first-time homebuyer seminars, and everybody in your database gets to hear about it. Hey, I'm just calling. In about 45 days, I'm hosting a seminar on blank. And you know that they're not first-time homebuyers, but who do they know that might benefit from that? Who can I reach out to? So, like, what's your reason for calling? So, like, events are great because you have to tell people that they're coming. You have to ask them to RSVP. You have to remind them the day of. And then afterwards, you can thank them for coming or you can say, I'm sorry, I missed you. But one event generally generates four touches. And people love events. I've had clients in our business who have said no to every event for 13 years that when we finally sold their house, literally Betty Copeland, who went to my high school. She was one of our counselors in my high school. She moved here to be close to her grandkids. When she eventually sold, she told my wife, you know, y'all were always inviting me to all of those events and Pi Days, and it just never worked out. But I want you to know how special it made me feel that you invited me.
That's great.
So they are hearing it and people are busy, but getting the word out matters. The second one I would say is have a smart stat. What is the smart stat about your market right now? Everybody's going to ask you, James, how's the market in Tampa? Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? So right now in our team, we have them doing this. So we could look back and 4 years ago, there were less than 2,000 listings on the market. Right now, there's 17,000. And people are like, whoa, what's causing that? All you have to do is like, what's the smart stat for your market? Hey, man, can you imagine that just 3.5 years ago, we had about 1,200 homes for sale and now we've got 17,000? Man, it's a crazy time for buyers. They have a lot of choice.
Yeah,
you don't have to say anything more, but do you have a smart stat? Something to say often gets us off the hump and we can go out there and talk.
It's really good. I love events. You have several pages dedicated to them in here. We did a session a while back that we'll link to. So wherever you're watching this, we'll put it in the comments or put it in the email on the first time homebuyer workshop, because you have a book on that too. Your First Home that has a whole workshop that's built out. And that system's been proven because we did a whole session on it in Pivot that people can watch and see how to implement.
If you didn't believe in lead generation through teaching, what are we doing here, man?
It's the exact same thing. Last thing I want to talk about, and Jay, thank you again for doing this with us, is the managing your time. Again, it comes up multiple times in here in multiple spots about how important it is that you have a schedule and that you're purposeful about your time. And I imagine that came up a lot in your research too.
So, I mean, that's also the benefit of being the co-author of The One Thing. So, like, I know how powerful habits can be, good and bad in our lives. And the earlier in our career, we set up good habits, patterns of behavior that serve us, the better it will be. So, whoever's listening, it's never too late. But we did map out kind of the habits. We devoted a whole chapter to it around lead generation and other things in your business that you could build over time to kind of build your perfect week. Like, what would the perfect week look like if you did a little bit of role play every day? If you did a little bit of lead gen every day? If you actually went on appointments every week, you did a little education, you managed your database. There's only about four or five things that we need to consistently do, and people need a picture for what that could look like. It's my hope that one at a time, people will start building some of those habits that will serve their business. Because when you talk to people who've been succeeding at a high level for a long time, either they've built the habit or they've built the habit into their business. And that's a system. They have a system for making that happen now. But one way or the other, the people who are consistent in doing the little things come out on top. As Gary would say, intensity is consistency and consistency is intensity. Everybody thinks it's a sprint. No, you just got to be showing up every day and you'd be amazed at how successful you can be.
It seems to me that the success in this industry comes from those three things. What's your mindset around you and then the market too? You need the right mindset about the market. What are activities are you doing from a lead gen standpoint to put leads in the pipeline? And then what's your schedule look like? If you can figure out those three things, then you're going to be in good shape. And I'd say if you aren't happy with where your business is right now, as you're reflecting on the year and thinking about what's ahead, if something in those three things is out of whack, I don't care how many homes you sell, this book is a good resource for you. So again, you're offering a 15% off too. So kellerinc.com, promo code's pivot2025. Jay, as we wrap, was there anything that surprised you when you were doing this and working on this over the 7 years that was like, oh, that's interesting?
I think the thing that was surprising and unsurprising was how many experienced agents wanted more confidence in how they talked about the market in general. I've always known that when our big events, when Gary and Jason and Ruben and I go on stage to talk about the market, they love it. They love the perspective. So we actually ended up adding a whole chapter on how to read the market. And a lot of it for our experienced agents, like, I know what that means. But like, I was kind of surprised that no one had done that before. I couldn't find a single example of someone showing like how to read the market, how to manage inventory, how to understand the economic factors that create a good market or a bad market. I'm just so accustomed or spoiled to it in where I work. I assumed everybody had access to that information. So that really surprised me.
Interesting. You do a lot of stuff that people can connect with. You got the One Thing podcast. You got the 20 percenter. You're very active on Instagram. Will you tell people how to connect with you?
Gosh, if you Google my name, Jay Papazan, I can't hide. There's only one on planet Earth, as far as I can tell. I would love it if people would read the 20 percenter. I do think I put a lot of effort into it. I've been doing it for several years, every single week. I've never missed a week. Every week, I try to give you something valuable that just takes like 3 minutes of your time.
Yep. It's a great read. So subscribe to that. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, James. It's a pleasure.
All right. So if you want to know why some agents thrive and others spin their wheels, it's not complicated. It's mindset. It's lead gen. It's consistency. And Jay just laid out the playbook. So go grab the Rookie Real Estate Agent. It's not for rookies. And use code PIVOT2025 to save, too. If you go to kellerinc.com to get it, kellerinc.com. And use code PIVOT2025. You'll save a little bit of money. That's good. So take something from today and go put it into action. That's how you create momentum. By the way, I'd love to see you on what we do inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. You can get on our daily morning mastermind call. Super simple. Go to jamesdshaw.com and click join our free daily call. The Zoom room opens every day at 7:30 Eastern. Of course, you can listen like you are this, a podcast. We take that call and turn it into a podcast same day. And then let's connect on the socials at jamesdshaw.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jay for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.